Go thy ways, Kate. That man in the world who shall report he has a better wife, let him in naught be trusted for speaking false in that.
That's the legendary Henry VIII, King of England, played here by Alan Burroughs, artistic director of the Somerville-based Actors Shakespeare Project.
And thy parts, sovereign and pious else, could speak thee out, the queen of earthly queens.
The play tells the story of a monarch wrestling with his conscience. Henry VIII wants to divorce his wife, Queen Catherine of Aragon, because he believes she's barren, but that puts him at odds with the Catholic Church.
The show is now playing at Suffolk University's Modern Theater, and that's noteworthy because Henry VIII is one of Shakespeare's least performed plays. We recently sat down with the show's director, Tina Packer. She founded Shakespeare and Company in the Berkshires, and she's considered one of the foremost interpreters of Shakespeare. So who better to tell us her theories on why this play seems to have lesser status than so many other Shakespeare works?
I think for a couple of reasons. I think that his powers actually were beginning to wane. It doesn't contain any sublime poetry. And also, as a dramatic piece, it's flawed because you don't really know what the conflict is. It's very difficult. Is it the conflict between Henry and the Catholic Church? Is it the conflict between Protestantism and Catholicism? Is it Henry's struggle with his conscience? In other words, is it like a miracle and mystery play, you know, where there's good and evil fighting each other? So it's not very clear, whereas you know that King Lear is about an old man who gave away his kingdom and wants to know who loves him most and all the repercussions from that. You don't know this in this play.
And what's the downside of not having a clear theme? Is it harder for readers and watchers to get emotionally attached?
Well, I think one of the things is that the academics don't take it on very much. So it's not a play that's put into courses. But in the last century, it was done lots because there are these 11 masks in them, christenings, coronations, trials. And he's written out in minute detail how they should be performed. And they've each got about 50 people in them. So it demands a huge cast. And of course, Alan gave me 10.
10 actors.
Yes.
You made a reference to Shakespeare's powers maybe having begun to wane. And this is because this is believed to be the last or one of the last plays he did. And maybe he was past his prime. On the other hand, sometimes by the end, you've reached your powers of wisdom and craft. But you think maybe not in this case?
Well, I think he might have been ill. The Tempest really is a farewell play, if I can put it like that. He's writing farewells because it's 3 years after he's written The Tempest. But this play also is a kind of, it's not a farewell play so much as he's obsessed with what does it mean to die. So three of the principal scenes are about people dying, but they don't have anything to do with the dramatic tension. So you see Shakespeare looking at variations of death, but it's not dramatic tension. It's not degenerate bastard, I'll not trouble thee.
So with all these flaws in this Shakespeare piece and all the impediments to putting it on, why did you want to do it?
I'll read a Shakespeare play and I think, I don't know what this is about. And then I struggle with it a bit and then it starts emerging. It took me much longer with this. I think I've found out what it's about. I'm going to say it's a struggle for Henry's soul, and the women are fighting on one side, and the church is fighting on the other side.
And this is largely about the divorce.
Yes.
Henry wanting to leave Catherine, marry Anne, and hopefully have a child.
A male heir. That he thought it was my lady's womb that was rejecting these boy childs.
And of course, we now know it was probably Henry, not Catherine, who was the biological problem, right? The physical anatomy problem. You know, it's fascinating and also surprising to hear you say that you wrestled with the meaning or the language of the play because you are immersed professionally in Shakespeare. But I also know that you really want your actors to make sure they understand the intent and meaning of every word.
Absolutely.
Not just reciting lines.
No.
What do you think is the language in this play that we most need to understand?
They talk about things which were very alive in Elizabethan times. They keep on calling the divorce this business.
Between Henry and Catherine.
Between Henry. And it actually was called this great business. But the actors will just say this business, you know. Well, it's not this business, it's this business. And the whole spiritual political revolution is behind that word business. If those actors don't know when they say this business, it's got all that weight behind it, then the audience don't have a hope in hell of getting it. So it's really how we communicate is that we communicate with words, but it's the intention behind the words, which is so important.
My conscience first received a tenderness, scruple, and prick on certain speeches uttered by the Bishop of Bayonne, then French ambassador, who had been hither sent on the debating a marriage twixt the Duke of Orléans and our daughter, Mary. In the progress of this business, ere a determinate resolution, the bishop, did require a respite wherein he might the king his lord advertise whether our daughter were legitimate.
In this play, the role of Henry VIII is played by the artistic director of the Actors Shakespeare Project, Alan Burroughs.
Yes.
With whom you've worked for a long time.
Yes.
What do you think he brings in particular to this role?
Well, one of the things that's so great about Alan is that he's able to play complex characters. He also is able to make them funny. And I think bringing a very faint comedic nuance to Henry VIII really helps, you know, because there are some very funny moments. But on the other hand, it's also about the king's conscience. So why is he divorcing Catherine? Well, because he thinks God is punishing him by not giving him any male heirs, which his kingdom deserves. So he actually says that. I mean, Alan can say things like that, and you don't actually want to kill him.
You feel some sympathy? The audience feels sympathy?
Yeah, you're able to feel some sympathy for Henry. I think most people think of Henry VIII's break with Rome as an excuse to grab a lot of property, a lot of power, you know, get rid of the people who were interfering with his life. And, you know, it was a real power grab. Alan actually translates it really well as to why it was he felt he needed to divorce Catherine. So Alan's able to do that, and you believe him.
Tina, you've described Henry VIII as a play about good women.
Yes.
What does that mean?
Well, I think when you look at Henry VIII, who is it that are really trying to maintain values that are loving and generous and upholding the country, if you will? And the answer is the women.
The play ends with what's basically this celebratory ode to Elizabeth and,
yes,
and the future
yes.
that she will bring in.
Yes.
Was that a political statement in some way, a way to flatter the monarchy on Shakespeare's part?
Well, I think you can say that. I really think by the time he gets to his late plays, you know, Tempest, Cymbeline, Pericles, Winter's Tale especially, he's saying, you've got to follow the women. Guys, if you keep this up, we're going to destroy ourselves. And this idea that we can have dominance over everything else and the way to solve any problem is to destroy other people is not going to, it's going to end up destroying the planet. He says good will grow with her. He says in her days, every man will eat in safety under his own vine what he plants and sing the merry songs of freedom. He says God will be truly known and those about her from her shall learn the perfect ways of honor and by those claim their greatness, not by blood.
The original title of Henry VIII, I believe, was All is True.
Yes.
How do you interpret that?
That you can say absolutely anything is true, build up an institutional structure around it, people start believing it, they internalize it, and then they can't think that it's not true. It's how the power system works. People are born into those institutions, and it takes a lot of psychic energy and a lot of good people banding together to say, actually, this institutional structure is not true. Just look how long Harvard University, for instance. How many tenured women professors are there in this day and age? I know we have a woman president there as well. I just give that as one of the examples. It takes a long time to create new ways of thinking about things, especially if you've institutionalized it.
Tina, your personal mission to direct all of the Shakespeare plays.
Yes.
This is one of the last remaining. What else is left after this?
I haven't done Cymbeline, so that's definitely one. I've done workshop productions of Titus Andronicus, Henry IV. So should I do those again or not? So that I do them top to bottom, you know. That's all I've got left.
Do you think the Actors Shakespeare Project feels excited to be finally doing this play?
Well, hallelujah that they do all these plays, you know, especially in Boston, which has a large academic community, to be able to see some of the lesser known plays and not have to go halfway around the world to do it is enormous. How many Macbeths were there this year on Broadway?
Right.
How many Hamlets? You know, you can go and see those plays almost anywhere, anytime. You have to go a bit to find a Henry VIII. So Boston needs, because it's got, 38 academic institutions and people are, by and large, avid theatre goers, it needs to do these plays.
If you could have played a part in this, which part would you have wanted?
Oh, Catherine, without any doubt. You know, it's a great role, Catherine is.
Not but Anne.
No, I wouldn't have played Anne. Well, there's not enough lines.
Tina Packer, thank you so much for the time.
Sasha, thank you.
Tina Packer is the founder and former director of Shakespeare and Company. She's directing the Actors Shakespeare Project's production of Henry VIII, which is playing at Suffolk University's Modern Theatre through January 5th. And we'll go out now with some of the original music composed for the production by Alexander Savronsky.
And that's it for today. Radio Boston is a production of WBUR, Boston's NPR news station. I'm Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Sasha Pfeiffer. Join us again tomorrow for more Radio Boston.